What did you tell him?
I told him he needed to find new friends. No, really, what did you tell him? That you're in a deposition.
I haven't had a deposition in 8 years. Send him back.
Be cool. I'll make him some coffee. Act like you're finishing some important stuff back here. Why don't you straighten this place up?
You just make sure he can't get out.
The Texaco driver was drunk, she said, opening the door. Don't screw this up.
Trevor froze, slack-jawed, glassy-eyed, his deadened mind suddenly springing to life. 1/3 of $2 million, $4 million, hell, $10 million if he was really drunk and punitive damages kicked in. He wanted to at least straighten his desk, but he couldn't move. Wes stared out the front window, stared at the rental, where his buddies were staring at him. He kept his back to the ruckus down the hall because he was struggling to keep a straight face. Footsteps. Then Jan said,
Mr. Carson will see you in just a moment.
Thanks, he said softly without turning around. Poor guy still grieving, she thought, then walked to the dirty kitchen to make coffee. The deposition was over in a flash, and the other participants miraculously vanished without a trace. Wes followed her down the hall to Mr. Carson's cluttered office. Introductions were made. She brought them fresh coffee, and when she was finally gone, Wes made an unusual request. Is there any place to get a strong latte around here?
Why, yes, certainly, yes, of course,
Trevor said, the words jumping across the desk. There's a place called Beach Java just a few blocks away. Could you send her to get me one?
Absolutely. Anything. Yes, of course. Tall or grande?
Tall's fine. Trevor bounced out of his office, and a few seconds later, Jan hit the front door and practically ran down the street. When she was out of sight, Chap left the rental and walked to Trevor's. The front door was locked, so he opened it with a key of his own. Inside, he latched the chain so poor Jan would be stuck on the porch with a cup of scalding latte. Chap eased down the hall and made a sudden entrance into the lawyer's office.
Excuse me? Trevor said.
It's okay, Wes said. He's with me. Chap closed and locked the door. Then he yanked a 9mm pistol from his jacket and almost pointed it at poor Trevor, whose eyes bulged and heart froze.
What?
He managed to emit in a high-pitched, painful voice.
Just shut up, okay?
Said Chap, handing the pistol to Wes, who was sitting. Trevor's wild eyes followed it from one to the other, then it disappeared. What have I done? Who are these thugs? All my gambling debts are paid. He was very happy to shut up, whatever they wanted. Chap leaned on the wall, pretty damn close to Trevor, as if he might lunge at any moment. We have a client, he began, a wealthy man who has been snagged in the little scam run by you and Ricky.
Oh, my God, Trevor mumbled, his worst nightmare. It's a wonderful idea, Wes said, extorting from rich gay men who are still hiding in the closet. They can't complain. Ricky's already in prison, so what does he have to lose?
Almost perfect, Chap said, until you hook the wrong fish, which is exactly what you've done.
It's not my scam,
Trevor said, his voice still 2 octaves above normal, his eyes still searching for the pistol.
Yes, but it wouldn't work without you, would it? Wes asked. There has to be a crooked lawyer on the outside to shuttle mail, and Ricky needs someone to direct the money and do a little investigative work.
You're not cops, are you? Trevor asked.
No, we're private thugs, Chap said. Because if you're cops, then I'm not sure I want to talk anymore. We're not cops, okay?
Trevor was breathing and thinking again, the breathing going much faster than the thinking, but his training kicked in.
I think I'll record this, he said, just in case you're cops. I said we're not cops. I don't trust cops, especially the FBI. The Phibbies would walk in here just like the two of you, wave a gun around, and swear they weren't Phibbies. I just don't like cops. I think I'll get this on tape.
Don't worry, pal, they wanted to say. It was all being recorded, live and in high-density digital color, from a tiny camera in the ceiling a few feet behind where they were sitting. And there were mics planted all around Trevor's littered desk, so that when he snored or burped or even cracked his knuckles, somebody across the street heard it. The pistol was back. Wes held it with both hands and examined it carefully.